Hello and welcome to Talks. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Steph, and today we're going to be talking about stereotypes. You know, Adrian and I, we've met a lot of Indians, a lot of Americans, and there are a lot of stereotypes, both for Indians and Americans, that we have heard. And we thought it would be a great idea to talk about some of those stereotypes, about how true or untrue they are. We don't mean to offend anybody. It's just things that we have heard over the course of our four-year relationship, or just, you know, generally being around other people. And we've talked about it too. We're not talking about it for the first time on the podcast. We have talked about it. We just thought it would be a great idea to talk about it. Maybe for some people who have also heard stereotypes like this, maybe debunking some of them, or maybe saying that, yeah, that is true.
you know, Stephanie, you probably know this too, but when you travel and you meet a bunch of different people and you come across different cultures and such, you learn a lot about, you know, preconceived notions and even like misconceptions and stuff, right? Like you grow up hearing all these things about different people or different like groups or areas or things of that nature. And whenever you travel, some of those suspicions are probably confirmed, and then some you find out were just blatant lies. And then some are kind of in the middle, you know, they're just exaggerations of things that are kind of true, but also they don't really fit the explanation, right? So in this is all based around our experiences, our travel. As Stephanie mentioned, we definitely don't mean to offend in any way. This is just kind of a discussion of what we've seen, our perceptions of some of these stereotypes.
Yeah, and we're not only doing Indian, we're also doing American, because for some reason people think that there's no stereotypes for Americans, but oh boy, when we started writing them down, they're more for Americans.
There's so many. There's so many American stereotypes. I don't know where you get this idea that there aren't any stereotypes. There are so many, especially in the South where I'm from. There's a ton of stereotypes.
I think also stereotypes for Americans come from like TV shows and movies and how they're depicted, right? So do you want to start with one American stereotype and then we'll go to an Indian one?
Yeah, definitely. I believe, yeah, a lot of these, you'll probably even see when we list some of these stereotypes, you could probably think of like six American TV shows where something is portrayed that could be like construed, you know, one of these stereotypes could come from that. So the first one that we get, and sometimes this is from, this one is probably from the Indian, I don't know, I guess we've come across it more in India. Maybe it's just because we've traveled more there, but I guess it could be everywhere too, is that all Americans are rich. And
I do want to say, I want to say this, compared to when you do the conversion of the dollar, it seems a lot like they are rich, you know? Right. A dollar is 72 rupees. And if you're an Indian listening, you know, as of right now, I don't know how it will be, but yeah, for you, like spending a dollar is not much, right?
Right.
Like it's 72 rupees or something, like that's $1.50. But for us, it's like, oh, why are you spending that much on a carpet or something?
You know, Steph, the first time I went over to India, I was a pretty struggling college student. I had, you know, worked extra and saved up a bunch of money to be able to afford this plane ticket to get over to India and meet my wonderful lady. And well, when I got there, I was like blown away by how cheap everything was, because you know, it's set for Indian, you know, the rupee, the value of the rupee and such, and the income of the person there. And so it was great for a struggling college student. And if people saw like how I lived here, they'd be like, oh, this guy is rough. But because, you know, I'm an American and I'm traveling abroad, he's got a ton of money. He's got lots of money. When little did these people know, I'm like watching every penny, you know, I'm watching how much food I'm buying. I'm watching like how much I'm traveling and such, because I know I've got like a limited budget. So it's definitely not the case. Not all Americans are rich, but by global standards, American income is high.
I think also I've heard a lot of Americans be like, oh, it's so cheap. Oh, it's nothing. Oh, it's peanuts. Like, that kind of puts it in our mind like, oh, you guys are all like so rich. Obviously, like, it's not true. It depends. And people who do come out, usually who travel abroad, do have money to spend most of the time, not all the time. And those who cannot afford it, there are a lot of people who have never left America, who have never left their state. We've had that conversation too, right? It's just either they don't want to or they just don't have the means to. So, so would you say yay or nay to the stereotype?
I'm going to say nay, but it's understandable. I'm going to say nay, but it's understandable. We'll go eh.
Okay. The most common Indian stereotype is that we all live in mud huts and we're like impoverished. Like, we don't have concrete homes. We live in mud huts. And that's not true.
That is so not true. See,
that's not.
Like, poverty exists everywhere, right? It's in every country. Mm-hmm. Anywhere there's people, there's poverty, there's, you know, affluence, there's the scale, right? But in India, I think it's just maybe that it's much more visible, and we've over here, I feel like maybe the media and like movies and such have highlighted that part of India to where people really only think it's that or jungle, you know?
I think that, when people come to India for the first time, not knowing what India is, they would be very, very surprised. But that being said, we do have people living in mud huts. We do have people who are poor. And it's a part of what India is, but it's not all of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you flew in internationally, you'll fly into Delhi. And even when you go to the hotels, you'll have these 5-star hotels, these big, tall skyscrapers. And it will be a shock if you come in just hoping that you will see poor people, that you will see, you know, like people just on the side of the street having no clothes on. You will be very, very surprised. Just in addition to this, I want to say that people do think that I have had this question like, oh, if I go to India, will they have clean water? Will they have bathrooms? Will they have, you know? And I want to say, like, it depends on where you're going in India.
Right,
again,
right.
If you go to a metropolitan city like Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore, Calcutta, it'll be very different than if you go to a very small town. And
which
I'm not
is
saying
which
that,
those are the places where most Westerners will go, right? Mm-hmm. Westerners, they're gonna go to Agra and see the Taj. They're gonna if they venture out anywhere, they're probably going like to the beach, or they're going up to like the mountains, right? Or it's those two options or the city. A lot of Western tourists, at least, probably aren't going to like rural villages and such.
Mm-mm. So yeah, I mean, I want to say it's 50-50 again, depending on where you go. I'm not saying that India doesn't have poverty and they're not people who live in mud huts. I'm just saying that if you come to India just expecting to see that everywhere, you will not see it.
Yeah. Gurgaon can be very, very surprising for Americans when they go over there and they see like Google headquarters and all these huge companies and cyber hub buildings. And you're like, where am I? You know? Like, it's bigger than any city I've been in over here, pretty much. It's wild. So you're going to say it's 50-50?
Also because of the population. Yeah, but because of also the population, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people living here. Right. So yeah, I'm going to say 50-50 on that.
50-50. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I have this one, Steph. I want to see what you think about it. This is one that it's popped up a lot, and I didn't realize it was even a thing until I spent a little time in India. It's this idea that parents here kick their kids out at 18, which is a very non-Indian thing, right? You typically, you know, you stay there until you get married, essentially, in the Indian home.
Sometimes even after you get married, you stay.
What?
I mean, for boys, for men. Yeah, sometimes, sometimes if they are boys or men, like once they get married, they stay with their parents. Because it's such a foreign concept to us that a child would leave their parent and, you know, just essentially go. I think this comes from a lot of TV shows and movies of like, oh, I'm 18, I'm leaving. But isn't it because they go to college? That's
usually what it is. You know, if the kid graduates and goes off to college, then of course they're going to move out. But you find a lot more people are staying home after college. You know, they're staying home and they're doing online school or going to school in their city. But no, not all parents kick their kids out at 18. Some do. It does happen for sure. But the landscape of things now has kind of changed. It's harder to get jobs for aging out kids. And you have to go to school. And if you're going to school at home, it kind of makes sense, you know, just stay at home, save a little money and be able to maybe afford your own place afterwards.
But do you think that a lot of places in America, like the parents give a deadline, okay, you need to get out of the house at this age or at this particular point?
Yeah, there's this idea of, you know, you want your kids to go out and be successful and do something for themselves. And some definitely do like set a deadline, you know, like, hey, you've got to do this and this, you know, by then. But it's very like personal thing too. Like there are people with kids who stay at home indefinitely.
Well, in India, I think, or I want to say in Asia, it's a very big concept of when as a child, if I can support my parents to support them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of like, okay, I need to be at home. I need to take care of my parents. But I think that too is changing in bigger cities. A lot of couples are becoming very nuclear. Very like, I mean, it's not like they're completely abandoning their parents. But that concept of nuclear family is coming in because a lot of just the change in lifestyle. I'm not going to say, oh, it's the American culture that's coming in. It's just change in lifestyle, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to have to give this one an eh. I want to say no, though, because of the way I've seen it understood there. It being like an almost for certain thing, you have to move out when you turn 18. So I'm going to say no to that. But in cases that does happen, it's just not as common as it once was. And what's next, Stephanie? What's next? What you got? What you got for
you
us?
You know what's next on this.
What is it?
Okay. Indians ride elephants everywhere. I've heard this. I have heard someone ask me this. It's not like...
No,
oh,
I've seen it. I've seen it.
I've heard.
Up north. No, it was out in... where are we? In Punjab? I saw a guy
riding
an elephant. Okay, yeah.
You see it in Jaipur.
Yeah, Rajasthan. I couldn't remember which way we went on that trip. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. One guy riding an elephant versus literally hundreds of thousands of people driving cars and scooters and bikes and stuff. It's one guy. One guy on an elephant. You'll see it every now and then, right? But very kind of rarely, actually, in cities. But how do we have this perception when I saw one guy riding an elephant.
And also it must be his livelihood where he takes it and people pay to be on the elephant. But right. Yeah, I've had people, we've had a bunch of like Americans come in and stuff and they'd be like, oh, do you guys not ride elephants? And I've had like, people who like Americans who've lived in India for a bit who've gone back and their friends are like, oh, did you have a pet elephant? Like, do you ride it all around? And I'm like, wait, what? Like, where has that concept come in from that we ride elephants? Yes, when we, like, years and years and decades and decades and centuries ago, yeah, when cars weren't a thing, yeah, we rode elephants. But we, why not? I don't understand. There's, so they're trying to tell me that like millions of people are riding elephants. That means there are millions of elephants. So people shouldn't be worried about them going extinct, huh? If we're riding all the elephants.
They should probably be worried about stepping in giant piles of poop.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. There also,
do you know? Do you know how expensive the upkeep of an elephant would be?
You know how much an elephant can eat?
Oh my gosh. No wonder people think Indians live in mud huts. Because we waste all our money feeding these elephants.
Well, like, people here love to complain about gas prices. I mean, imagine trying to take care of an elephant, you know?
Oh my gosh. This is a big no. Like, nope. I mean, I've seen people, like you said, I've seen people ride elephants. Like, that off one person. But that's very, very rarely. And I live in India. I rarely see people riding horses, too. I mean, I do, but not like, it's not a common thing.
So then this one is a big no, I'm guessing, huh?
Oh, it's a big no. Please, if you're planning to come to India, do not come thinking you're going to see elephants everywhere. There are certain places you will see them, not everywhere.
Not everywhere.
Oh my gosh. It's still so crazy to me that that's what people think.
Yeah. People think some weird stuff. And let me tell you, there's a pretty funny one up ahead on the American side. Let me tell you all about it, Steph. So, if I told you that American food was all bland, flavorless, and that Americans couldn't handle spice and heat, you might would say... That, oh, I've heard that. I've heard that. I've heard that's true. I've heard that's true, right? So let me tell you this. I'm from Louisiana. And in Louisiana, we have what's called Cajun food, also Creole food. And those dishes have lots of cayenne pepper, lots of spice, lots of flavor. They use onions and bell peppers and celery, and they make this really good gravies and sauces. And it actually, whenever I first went to India and ate, you know, good authentic, I say authentic, but it's just Indian food, right? It's just Indian food in India. It really reminded me of back home a little bit, just with different spices. Lots of really bold flavors, gravies, you know, rice, bread. You know, it was fantastic. And it, of course, the flavors were totally like different, completely different, but it reminded me of home. Also, here in the South, you know, the Southwest is known for a lot of Mexican influence, a lot of Mexico and, you know, Central America, a lot of that influence there. So there's a ton of spice, there's peppers, there's all sorts of really flavorful things that came out of like the South. So I would say that's definitely false.
Okay. I will say this. The reason why a lot of this stereotype would have come up is because when you go to like an American restaurant in India or anywhere else, they don't serve Creole food. They don't serve Cajun food. They serve, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs. That's what we associate American food with, is hot dogs and hamburgers, pizzas sometimes, like McDonald's, right?
Which is pretty bland.
And so we're like, okay, they it's bland food. And also a lot of tourists that come in here, I don't think a lot of people from Louisiana travel to India because or at least I haven't met a lot, because a lot of what I hear is, oh, it's so spicy. And I'm like,
yep.
What? But it also differs in America, isn't it? Like if you go, like someone coming from California maybe, or someone who's not from Louisiana might find things spicy.
Yes, definitely. So I would say this is like a two-part one, right? Food is bland, and then Americans can't handle spice or heat. And I'm going to say the first part is not true because there's so much diversity in our food. A lot of it comes from other cultures, and really American food, there's not really such a thing. It's all influence from Europe, from Asia, you know, all over. It's all these different ideas kind of coming together and melding together. It's like basically fusion, like the ultimate like fusion, right? But the second part, they can't handle their spice and heat. Yeah, there's people even in Louisiana who can't hardly eat any sort of like pepper or anything. So I'm going to say yes to that one probably. Not as much here in Louisiana and like Texas and some places in the South, but yeah, Americans are pretty known for not tolerating spice well. You know, when you walk into an Indian restaurant and then you tell them you want it spicy and they were like, you want American spicy or Indian spicy? Because that's not the same thing, man.
No, because
I don't know why the Indian guy sounded like a hippie. In that, like a stoned hippie. What was that about? I'm not trying to say that. That I don't know what happened there.
No, but I will say this, that spicy in India has a very different meaning than it does, I think, maybe in other parts of the world. When we say spicy, we don't mean like green chilies or red chilies. We mean different spices,
like cardamom, like, and cinnamon, yeah, and nutmeg, garlic,
and for a lot of people that's a lot of flavors and it's a lot of heat. When we say something is spicy, it's like, it's not necessarily green chili. It's not like hot.
Right. Yeah, there you say hot, right? When something has like chili or cayenne pepper or something, it's hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can get behind that too.
So I understand why some Americans cannot handle it. A lot of people, I think even Europeans, would not be able to handle it because of the amount of different spices that we put in. It's a lot of flavor, a lot of burning in your tummy. Sometimes Indians can't handle it either if it's too much.
Well, you know, a lot of Americans are kind of reluctant to try Indian food, or they just flat out say they don't like it sometimes. And I think it's because of like that, a belief, I guess it's kind of a stereotype too, that, you know, that Indian food is all, you know, spicy. It's all hot. Yeah. It's all like, it's going to like burn your mouth, you know, if you have it. But what would you say to that? Do you think all Indian food is spicy?
No.
Or hot?
No. Oh, no. Like you go to state like Gujarat and they like things sweet. So things like dal, which is pulses, if you go there, they like putting sugar in it. You go down south where you eat South Indian food, you'll have something that's like coconut chutney. So it's coconut, and they don't put red chilies or thing. And then you go, I want to say, even in North India, a lot of food is not like spicy per se. It could be, but not all of it is. That's why I was saying, like, yes, Indian food has a lot of spices, but like, you know, I said about other things, not all is the same, because this also is another point that people think that there's just one culture or is just one thing and all of India is like that. Right. India is very, very diverse. Yeah, you can go within a state, you can go to different cities, and you would feel like you're in a completely different place. Each state has its own like food, has its own culture, has its own, like, even though you would think it's the same, it's not. And I think that a lot of tourists, a lot of movies have depicted it in a way where you don't get to appreciate a lot of the diversity that India has to offer.
Yeah, well, because here, like, if you go out to eat, you're going to go eat Indian food. What I noticed whenever I'm there is that you very rarely go eat, you know, Indian food. You go eat, like, you know, Punjabi food, or you go get South Indian, or you have all these different types of cuisine. You know, it's not just Indian food. It's from all the different regions and stuff. Like places on the coast, people don't really think about it, but there's a ton of seafood. There's a ton of seafood dishes in India, and you don't really think about that. You really only think of like chicken or like paneer or spinach, here at least, and bread. Bread.
Yeah, people don't realize how diverse India is, and even in the food, India is surrounded by water on three sides. We're just landlocked on one side, which is in North India, and then you go to Northeast, which is a lot of food that is inspired by Tibetan, and you know they use
momos. Momos. I love to eat some momos.
Oh, I love momos. But like in the Northeast, they have a lot that people use a lot of bamboo shoot. Or there's something called akuni, which is, if I'm not mistaken, it's fermented beans.
And it's kind of like soybeans and stuff. How they ferment, like kidney beans. Well, I'm just thinking of it like how they ferment like soybeans for making products a lot in like China and such. So it seems like a similar type of thing.
I wouldn't be able to tell you that exactly.
See, I think we need to do a whole episode on food.
Food,
American food. Definitely Indian food. Because you know why?
Mm-hmm. Why?
It's because
you love food.
Well, I do love food, but there's also another stereotype I want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
This stereotype is one that's world known. It's worldwide, and I mean wide.
Is it Indian stereotype or an American?
It's an American stereotype. And it's about how all Americans are fat. Right? That Americans are fat. We are well known around the world for being round all over the world. So.
Well, I'll tell you why. I need to say this. I'll tell you why. You have shows like 600 pounds.
600 pound life.
My 600 pound life. You have things like super size versus skinny or something like that. You have Weight Watchers. Mm-hmm. Like those are Biggest the kind Loser. Of shows. Biggest Loser. Mm-hmm. And like it's very hard to think that you don't have people who are overweight. That being said, I'm going to say there are people in India that are overweight as well. If you don't watch what you eat, you're just going to be overweight.
It's true. It's a problem that comes from like overabundance, right? But I've got to say that the whole time I was in India, I did not see as many obese people. Like there were some larger people sometimes, but here, like it is a bit of a problem. I think they call it like an obesity pandemic, because it actually is a problem. It's affecting the health of our country. And so I'm going to go ahead and say that one's true. Like not everybody is overweight, but it is a huge problem in our culture.
Wasn't there a study that obesity in kids has increased over the past couple of years too? And I don't want to make fun of like all of that, but I am saying that anything that is not taken in moderation is bad.
Yes.
Right? Like food is good. Food is good. But if you don't moderate what you eat, is bad.
And people, you know, people come in all like shapes and sizes, right? Like I'm not saying that you should like dog yourself, you know, if you're a little bigger than, you know, the next person. You know, that's not a problem. What I'm talking about here is this obesity epidemic that we kind of have here, right? That stems from unhealthy habits and a culture of like, give me more, more, more. You've seen portion sizes at our fast food restaurants.
Oh, God.
You know, whenever we go over there, whenever like Americans go over there and we go to like McDonald's, we're like, I need two meals. You know, everything's just a little bit smaller. I noticed you get a small fry with the food there. You get a small drink normally. And over here, it's like if you go to Whataburger, If y'all, okay, if anyone listening has ever been to a Whataburger, you know, they, like, by default, if you order a meal, they're going to give you that bucket drink, right? They're going to stick a straw in a bucket and hand you that bucket. And they're going to say, if free refills, right? You're going to get that Dr. Pepper. You're going to fill it up,
oh, yeah,
every bit of it. And then you're going to drink it all and you're going to get another one before you leave out the door.
That's very interesting. That refill system in India, fast food restaurants don't do refill.
Right.
I mean, we make that money with getting people to get different drinks.
You gotta buy, but you gotta also, buy another one, right?
But also, I have very rarely seen people in fast food restaurants get the largest drink. It's always like a medium or a small. Even like in Starbucks, I have very rarely seen someone get a venti, which is the biggest size in India. It's always either a grande or a tall. I think I've had a venti only like maybe twice. I could be wrong again. I could be wrong.
See,
but
Starbucks here, they had to pull out all the stops because they know how we are. They had to pull out a bigger size than the venti. They actually have a Trenta here. It's a really big
Whataburger-style
drink. I think it's made more for like cold drinks, like a tea or something. Mm-hmm. But it's a big drink.
But how do people? I think a grande sometimes is a little too much for me because of how sweet it is mm-hmm. sometimes. I mean, I don't really particularly like just black coffee mm-hmm. or just espresso. Like, I like it with a little milk, a little sweetener. And that becomes a lot sometimes. And I have to like think about it because of how sweet it is. That's the other thing. And I want you to say if it's a yes or a no, that American food or American sweets are really, really sweet. Like a lot of sugar in drinks and in sweets and stuff.
Yeah, we have really high sugar consumption for sure. And we have a lot of things that are sweet that shouldn't be sweet. Sweets have a lot of sugar for sure. Breakfast here has a lot of sugar.
Oh.
Like one thing I notice is there, typically breakfast isn't very sweet usually. But here, like donuts and coffee is like a thing, right? You load up that coffee with sugar and creamer.
Hold on. You guys have donuts for breakfast?
Yeah, donuts considered a breakfast item, like a pastry.
Like a Dunkin' Donut, Krispy Kreme donut.
Yeah.
Like a glazed donut.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, donuts are like considered breakfast fare.
In India, it's like a dessert. Like you go to Dunkin' after your meal or you go to Krispy Kreme after to get yourself a sweet treat. I don't think of it
as
you're
not doing it the
breakfast.
American way, man.
Oh my God.
You're not doing it the American way. Yeah.
If you go to a Dunkin' Donuts in India, you will have savory food. You get savory sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, they have some of those too, like egg and bacon, like biscuits and such.
No, I'm talking about a full-on menu of sandwiches.
I didn't know you didn't know about donuts. Yeah. Donuts are considered breakfast food. I mean, you can have them any time of the day, but they make them hot and fresh in the mornings. And also, like, I mean, all these sweet cereals, you know, that's very standard. And you know, we always put jam on our toast pretty much all the time. You know,
we do jam on toast.
Yeah.
Jam on toast.
But I noticed it a
jam
lot more
on toast
here.
Cereal. Oh, the best is I remember when we were kids. I don't know if other kids used to do it or parents used to do it, but my mom used to put jam on parathas, plain parathas, like not stuffed parathas. She'd put jam.
Yeah, because I'm thinking
and
of
by
like
jam
a potato jelly. One or something, and I'm like, no.
No.
Like a plain paratha.
Mm-hmm. She'd put it, or for lunch she would put it, and oh, it would taste so good. I'm pretty sure other people's parents did that too, because it tasted so, so good. So we do have like sweet breakfast, but like aloo paratha for breakfast.
I'm just saying, other than the time I just eat biscuits when I'm there, I haven't had a single sweet thing for breakfast out of all the time I've been there. The only other thing would be jam on toast that I just had, you know, once or twice.
I love jam.
It's literally those are the only two things, sweet things I've had for breakfast in India. So.
Okay. We need to move away from food topics.
Yeah, let's not
love food.
Let's not do the food. We could talk about it like forever.
Okay, this is something that I have heard about Indians, and it just surprises me that people outside India don't realize that Indians speak English. They're very surprised. I've had someone ask me, "Oh, your English is so good. Did you study abroad?" And I was like, "No, I studied in India."
It's like abroad. You know, who's she?
Sure. I just, it's crazy.
Well, people here don't really know Indian history, like, at all. They barely talk about it. It comes up a little bit with British history, but they don't really know the impact of, like, the British on India. You know, they talk about Gandhi a little bit, but you never really get the full, like, picture of, like, how long, you know, India was controlled by the British and the amount of influence that they had in the area.
Well, according to Wikipedia that I just pulled up, India has 246,344,737 total English speakers.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of people. And again, when you're talking about English, not necessarily would they have, it's not only people who are very fluent in English. A lot of Indians also like mix English with Hindi or have English as their second language. They know some basic sentence forming in English, right? Like they have some understanding of the English language, which is very interesting to me when this certain person asked me. And I was like, I've been talking to you in English this entire time. My parents have been talking to you in English. People in our, like, around us have been talking in English. How is that even a question? That shouldn't be a question. You landed at the airport and all our signs were in English. So that's another thing about when you travel a lot in India, you would have signs in English and then in the native language. So I was like, a lot of our government documents are in English too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've noticed traveling in a lot of places, it's like that. There'll be like the native language and then they'll also have English in there. Some regions, you know, it'll be Spanish or French, but over in Europe, but there's usually English somewhere nearby if they do have a second language on the sign or something.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this could be a very controversial topic, but I think that because of how widespread English is, like, spoken, it's always good for countries to have that. Even though they may not be fluent in it, it's always good for people to have that as a language that they know. You know, just because if there are people coming from different countries or something, at least there's a common language. Like, you wouldn't expect everyone to learn Spanish, French, German, Russian, you know, Mandarin, Japanese. Like, let's all, like, focus on one language. And if in the next 5 years everyone's like, okay, everyone in the world should learn Spanish, like, I'll be down for that. But we all should have a common language to understand each other.
Right. Yeah, I just think that maybe most Americans don't really understand a lot of the rest of the world, or especially like non-European places. Like, they have a little bit of a general knowledge of Europe, but even that's not very, very in-depth. I think that, you know, a lot of Americans don't even really realize how much, you know, British, like, thought and, like, culture did leave a bit of an impression, you know, I won't say more so than here, but definitely did at least as much as here, probably more, but also like the amount of like time and effort and energy that went into, you know, teaching English to people there.
Yeah.
You know, and ensuring that it was taught. And mm-hmm. I think that kind of goes into one of the other stereotypes about Americans. It's that, you know, they're ignorant. They're kind of dumb, oh, yeah. right? They're often portrayed as being dumb or stupid or just ignorant, right? Or unwilling to even learn, right? Unwilling to do.
I think if you've been on the internet quite a bit, you would have seen. Have you seen this video of this geography teacher teaching her kid? She's an American teaching how WAP the American like view of the world is, because apparently in your maps they put America in the center, and it's bigger as compared to the other parts of the world. And I don't know how mm-hmm. true that video is, but I have seen it. And I think that I don't know if you want to say it's true or not, but a lot of it is that Americans think that the world revolves around them. Everyone come on, let's think about this, okay, everyone? The only presidential election that everybody in the world looks at is the American presidential election. I'm talking about even people who are not interested a lot in politics. If you ask them who the American president is, they would know.
Right.
There has to be something why people are so interested, right?
The U.S. carries a lot of influence, for sure. It is a mm-hmm. I would say it is an important country to, you know, world events and such. The thing about Americans, like, I hate when they portray Americans as being dumb, ignorant, stupid, kind of mindless people, because that's definitely not the full picture, right? There are mm-hmm. there are a lot of people who are just completely unaware of things that are going on. They disassociate themselves, or they're not really concerned with world events for whatever reason, for anything outside of the U.S. They just don't know, and some of them just don't even seek to know. And I think maybe that's where some of that could come from, right? If an American's traveling abroad and they're visiting a place and they know nothing about the place, it can come off to you know, locals that, oh, you don't know that that's there, or we speak Italian here, or in India we can speak English. Like, you don't know that there aren't elephants around. It's because, you know, the limited perception, what's easy to like digest and understand and see, like, that's what the perception is going to be.
Also, it comes down to that thing that we talked about earlier, that not a lot of Americans travel outside their state, outside their city sometimes, right? And we think that, oh, Americans are world travelers. They travel everywhere. They like to go. But after you and I started dating, and you did bring this to my attention, that not everybody does that. A lot of people, just for the rest of their life, they just stay in that same state. They don't like leave their state. So, I mean, I would not blame them for not knowing it, but I would say if you're traveling anywhere, and this is for everyone, no matter who you are, if you are planning to travel to a different country that you have never traveled to, do a little bit of research. Yes. Like, just see what the country is about, or, you know, like, just so that you don't offend the locals. I know a lot of Indians don't really get that mm-hmm. easily offended with tourists, because they know, like, oh, tourists are coming, they don't know anything about India.
but even more than that, Steph, like, even more than just offending locals, like, I think it's going to make for a better experience. It's going to make your travels so much better if you have just a little bit of understanding of their history,
yeah,
and, you know, why people are the way they are and do the things that they do, why things are set up in a way, you know, what language is spoken, you know, am I going to need a translator? Yeah. You know, you're going to have a better experience,
yeah,
if you put in a little research on the front end,
mm-hmm.
hands down.
And also I think that right now there's so many great resources online. Like, you have people writing about their travels, and it's always good to just be prepared, you know? And once you reach there and you ask questions, I don't think any local would really mind answering your questions. But if you ask a dumb question like, oh, where are the elephants in India? Why aren't there animals just roaming around? How come you have big buildings? Yeah, we will be like, are you dumb? But if you're genuinely asking like, oh, like, why does this architecture look like European? We would love to answer it, because maybe you don't know why we have so much architecture that looks inspired by Europeans. Like, we have a lot of Portuguese and a lot of French inspired, a lot of British inspired stuff. And that's something that we would answer. If it was questions like, oh, like, do you have a lot of other religions other than Hinduism? And we would answer, we would happily answer. But don't ask dumb questions like, where are the elephants, or why you don't live in mud huts, or why you speak English. Like, that's just, I'm sorry, but that's just dumb.
It's like, oh, the elephants are in the jungle where they live, and also on like reservations and stuff. Like,
yeah,
at the zoo, you know, where elephants live.
Yeah, but I'm not just saying if you're coming to India. I'm saying no matter where you go,
yeah,
make sure that, you know, you're just respectful even when you're asking. It's not like condescending.
Yeah, be nice.
Yeah, be nice. Be nice to people, I guess. That's my take. That's your takeaway for today, is be nice. Be kind. Yeah. Also, before we leave, I just want to clear one thing up very, very clearly.
And what is that, India, Stephanie?
India is not in the Middle East. It's in Asia.
But
we are in Asia. Look at it in your maps. We are in Asia.
I agree. What about, so we're getting into geography here. Where is Pakistan?
Asia.
How about Saudi Arabia?
Asia.
See, this is kind of the difference here of how the US approaches this stuff. So India is for sure not in the Middle East. It's in Asia. It's an Asian country for sure, hands down. Like, I think even our geography books kind of cover that okay. But we have a very clear dividing line of like Middle East and then the rest of Asia. We like here we don't even think of like the Middle East as being part of Asia, even though it is. Okay. You know, the Asian continent.
Okay, let me ask you this. Where's Russia?
See, Russia is Russia, but it is on the Asian continent. But technically, like, Russia would be Asian.
But if you were talking about it in America, right? Mm-hmm. Where would you say Russia is?
Well, it's on the Asian continent. It's probably where you would say.
Okay, in India, at least at my school, we were taught it was Eurasia because it shares parts of it in Europe parts of it in Asia. But yeah, like I never thought India was anything apart from Asia. So like when we would talk about it, like, oh yeah, we're Asian. And also I look very Asian in the sense of my mom's Indonesian. So I have more Indonesian features than Indian. Mm-hmm. But my sister, she looks very Indian because she got it from my dad. Like, mm-hmm. She has more Indian dominant features. So when she went to America and they were asking like ethnicities and she said, Asian, I'm Asian. And they go like, no, you're Indian. And she's like, yes, and India is in Asia, so I'm Asian. And then they told her it was reserved for Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, people who looked a certain way, and it was so strange to us.
Yeah,
because in India, when we fill out forms, they never ask like, "Oh, are you Asian or Indian?" It'll be like, "Are you Indian?
India is an Asian,
or are you non-Indian?" Yeah, or are you non-Indian? So if you do non-Indian, then you say which country you're from. I have never had to write my ethnicity apart from writing it in an American form.
Mm-hmm.
Because in India, they'd be like, are you Indian or non-Indian? If you say non-Indian, then you write which country you're from. Right? it's the same way in Indonesia. They've done, are you Indonesian? Are you not Indonesian? And then which country you're from? The first time ever I saw ethnicity on my form was when we were applying for a visa to America. And I was like, Asian, right? But they had like Asian, Middle East. And I was like, Asian, right?
Yeah,
and
that's like,
yeah. Which made no sense to me.
Like, that's the thing is here, like on the paperwork, like the term Asian usually means like Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Thai, Cambodian. But India is kind of seen as like its own thing, I guess. Because it doesn't really say it's in the Middle East. And then half the time people don't really think it's in Asia either. It's kind of just there in between. And what I will say is if you look at like India and then you look at like Pakistan or like Afghanistan or Cambodia or Thailand or something, or any of those neighboring countries, you know, Nepal. Well, Nepal is very like pretty similar, Bangladesh. Just from like an outsider's perspective, right? It is kind of its own thing. India is very unique from like the countries around it.
But we also have so many people as compared to all these other countries.
Right. But it's an interesting, like, it's a weird way of looking at it, right? It's mostly based on looks, right? Like here, it's like people have an idea of what Asian is and what Asian looks like, you know, and it's a very narrow, specific thing.
No, but my question is, why don't you just do American, non-American and let them write their own country? Like, why is ethnicity a thing is my question. Like, if you put Asia on your form, an Indian will take Asian because we are in Asia. Like, you want to, like, you'd say Caucasian, you'd say, or, you know, you'd say African American, and then you put Asian. Like, what? Like, then why don't you just put European? And then Australia is a continent, just put Australian. Like, what?
I mean, we do have the Australian tag.
No, but what I mean to say is that it's so confusing the way that the world sees India or sees Asia. Whoever divided the map should have divided it, made Asia a little smaller because it is quite vast. No, it is vast.
Yeah,
and you're not
wrong.
When
you have such a large land area, you know, you're going to get so much diversity and like difference.
Gonna get, exactly. But see, this is the thing. You cannot just be like, oh, all Asians look like this. Like, no. Have you seen how much land Asia covers? It's the largest continent. You cannot have everyone looking the same. It has the most population because China and India are in Asia. You know?
We'll see. Like, I think if there's one thing we've learned here in this episode, and maybe this is a generalization to say it, but sweeping generalizations rarely are correct. You know, there's a lot of nuance.
Exactly.
There's a lot of individuality that gets left out of the mix when you just make a blanket statement about a group or a whole country or someone's culture or such. You know, you miss out on a lot of really, really cool things, I find. You know, that, hey, maybe if you don't order naan this time at the restaurant, try roti, try paratha. You know, try a puri. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of bread. There's a lot of bread out there, y'all. You got to go get it. Get all the bread. Don't just have the naan. Let me tell you something. If you want to see an American's eyes light up at dinner, just tell them you're bringing naan, specifically garlic naan. I don't know what it is, but white folks love naan. It's this craziest thing. And I'm like,
it's not just
like,
white
naan
folks.
Is great.
It's
I love naan. Naan is fantastic. But look. You got roti, you got all these other breads. Like, come on, let's give them a fair shake.
No, I will say this. Naan is so good.
Oh, yeah.
Not just American.
But have you had,
people.
Like, a good kulcha?
Oh, of course. I'm
Man.
Indian.
Like, but I'm saying, like, compared to naan, like, kulcha is, like, really good, too.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you want to eat it with. Again, each bread goes with something, you know?
Right. We'll see. Here we are again. If there's another thing that we've learned tonight is that Stephanie and I will talk about food all day. And we can guarantee you.
We once talked about food for 4 hours.
Oh yeah, we could have turned that into a podcast. We could have made it talking about food podcast. And let me tell you, there will be episodes in the future solely devoted to food. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Yes. Maybe that should be our next episode.
Yes, food. Let's talk about food. But yeah, I just want to say, like, if we learned anything, and also if you're listening to this and you've had any experience with, like, people being having, like, a stereotype that we did not cover, either American, Indian, or stereotypes about your country, no matter where you're from, we would like to hear it. We would like to see what people think about it, and also let us know if it's true or false, and send us a message on our Instagram. We like having healthy discussions over here. We like talking about ideas, and if you think that we said something that was wrong, go ahead, correct us. We would love to have that conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'd love to have you on our podcast if you think that there are other things that you want to add that we may have forgotten about. So yeah, if you want to be part of a podcast or you want to add something to today's talk, make sure to contact us on Instagram.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know your thoughts. We're always interested to hear it. We'll definitely talk about it, and you may come up in one of our next episodes. But be on the lookout too. We have many new things, exciting things coming down the line. We will be posting up new episodes of this talk every single week. We'll be on the lookout for those. We will also be live streaming quite regularly every Sunday night. Steph and I stream over on Twitch.
Sunday night, okay, time, but Central?
Sunday night, time? Central Standard Time here. If you're in India, that's Monday, and Monday morning.
Yeah. And the time changes for us in India because they do daylight savings.
Right. So we'll be doing that. We typically play some games and just chat for a bit. So if you ever want to come hang out, you know, we can respond to questions. We'd love to just have you hang out and chat and, you know, just have some fun with us.
And come hang out with us.
Yes.
We would love to hang out with
you. We would love it. But Stephanie, I think that's about all the time we have today. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to run to work.
Well, until next time, everyone, we hope you have a wonderful week ahead. We'll see you back here next week. Until then, be good, and we'll talk with you again.
Be kind. Remember to be kind. Bye.